Hi, I'm Andy Puddicombe, the host of a brand new podcast called Radio Headspace. I'd love it if you could join me to start the day in a different way. Whether you like to think of it as a thought for the day, a moment of pause, or some time to reflect, and a reminder that no matter what's going on in our lives, there's comfort to be found in coming together for just a few minutes every weekday morning. You can listen and subscribe to Radio Headspace for free on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to listen.
During these challenging times, listening is fundamental to promoting understanding and healing. That's why I'm Listening is here to help you talk about mental health. We feature conversations from celebrities and mental health professionals who share how they manage anxiety, depression, and other mental health issues. Our mission is to combat the universally felt crisis of distance and division by promoting conversations that end the stigma of talking about mental health. Find resources and more information at imlistening.org. That's imlistening.org.
To take this station with you wherever you go, download the radio.com app today and listen to this station and over 300 other stations. With the radio.com app, you can favorite your top stations for easy access and receive alerts with breaking news, contest opportunities, and more. To favorite a station, just click on the heart icon in the upper left-hand corner of your favorite station's logo. Go to your app store or radio.com/download and start listening today. Radio.com.
670 The Score is the official radio home of Cubs baseball. Listen to all 60 games of the 2020 season here.
It's got a chance! It's a grand slam!
Live from the Hyundai Studios, this is 670 The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. A radio.com sports station.
Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
The impact on sport of this pandemic, a sport recapitulates society, and we know that if the virus is out of control in society, it's going to be out of control in sports, and there are going to be residual factors that are unique to sports, such as debilitating impacts in terms of those who survive. We know that there are impacts in terms of the lungs, in terms of the liver, and so forth. What does this mean in terms of high-performance athletes, even if they survive? Unlike Joe Lunchbucket or Tammy Talkshow, who survives and just simply goes on with their lives and worry about how this impacts them up the road as they grow older, athletes have to worry about today. If I survive the virus, am I going to be able to get the minutes that I used to get? Will my lungs function correctly? Will my liver function correctly? These are issues that should be discussed and talked about. Instead, there's a headlong barreling ahead to restart as if there's going to be some kind of V restart where they're going to pop right back up to where they were instead of what is likely to be a W restart, up and down, up and down, up and down, when they should be looking at a U-shaped restart, which is gradual, considered within the context of the science and the facts.
Make me a bicycle clown!
Dr. Harry Edwards yesterday was just phenomenal overall. I got a bunch of text messages, both from just people who were listening to the show and friends of mine on my phone, about what Harry Edwards had to say. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. We've got a lot of show going on today. I want to hip you to a story that you might not know about. We've had a lot of fun with this over the last week. I got another story to share with you, which we'll do at 1 o'clock. We also want to talk about, do a follow-up on a story that we did last week that has, at least for now, what seems to be a very happy ending. There's also breaking news, so we're going to get to that right now. That breaking news has to do with the Cubs. So we bring in our MLB insider, Bruce Levine, host of Inside the Clubhouse. He joins me on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from. You should check them out in Melrose Park or at alpamonteford.com. Bruce, the Cubs put out a release on Jose Quintana. I'm sure that there are a couple people that are tuned in that are going, wait, what's going on? So what's the latest?
Well, Jose Quintana had a laceration of his left thumb that occurred recently. He had a microsurgery on it to find out what occurred as far as any extensive damage. They have said that his recovery time will be at least for 2 weeks. So until 2 weeks are up from this microsurgery that he had, he won't be able to pitch for 2 weeks. They expect him to have a throwing program that he starts on within 2 weeks, and after that he'll be reevaluated as far as being able to go about pitching again for the Cubs. Theo Epstein will have a Zoom conference at 12:30 here and fill us in a little bit more, but you know, it's pretty obvious he's going to be pretty much behind. And Lawrence, if you take it a step further, we talked about this before, any injury in the 60-game season is twice as serious just because of the nature of the fact that people starting slowly or people that have to start the year on the injured list, there's not a lot of time for recovery and for rehabilitation. I mean, there's really not a lot of places to go to even rehabilitate, let alone recover from those injuries.
Yeah, I mean, and there was in the release even, they had made mention of whether there was any real damage to a sensory nerve. So, I mean, that is, when I hear stuff like that, and I get that they said, look, he's going to start a routine throwing again in 2 weeks. The season is hoping to start in 3 weeks. And, Bruce, I think that you're 100% right. Whenever you're talking about an injury that's going to keep any player out for any amount of time in such a shortened window, it has consequences. And it's not as if the Cubs pitching staff was the deepest going into this thing. So how do you think that beyond getting Quintana back fully healthy, they approach going about filling his spot in the rotation early on?
Well, Alec Mills had been the designated sixth starter battling Tyler Chatwood for the fifth spot all along during spring training until March 12th when everything ended. And he pitched well. He acquitted himself well last year as well for the Cubs. So he would be your guy. But, you know, the depth chart isn't all that great for the Cubs or any team when it comes to quality starting pitching. And after Mills, you know, the Cubs will be looking on waiver wires. They'll be looking at release players. They'll be looking within their own system as well to guys like Adbert Alzolay as guys that are going to probably have to step up and be there. But as far as how long it's going to take Quintana to get ready, no one knows. When you're shut down for 3 weeks, you know, from the injury time and 2 weeks more now before he'll start throwing, that's kind of like starting spring training over again. It would be like spring training 3.0 for Jose Quintana.
For Quintana, how big a year is this?
Well, it's huge. I mean, he had a very good year up to the last month, and he had a disastrous September last year, if you remember. Had trouble getting out of the third and fourth inning most of the time. Just was awful while actually helping carry the staff in the middle of the year when John Lester had some injury issues and some issues as far as getting the job done. So this was a huge year for him, as well as the Cubs, because he is a free agent as of November. So on a personal front, very big for Jose Quintana. For the Cubs to be able to compete, you know, certainly a quality left-hander that if he's not available for any extended period of time, will have some impact on their team.
Bruce Levine joining me here on The Score. Jose Quintana is going to be down for a couple weeks and then is going to resume a throwing program for the Cubs. We've had the Cubs and the White Sox reporting to their ballparks over the last couple of days. What's been the most interesting stuff that you've been hearing about how these processes is going to work?
Well, just the separation and the lag time of the players reporting in, Lawrence, as far as on a daily basis. You know, there might be two or three groups reporting at different times, two, three hours apart, just so social distancing and safety is adhered to and the number one thing that people are feeling confident about. So even on the field, you know, we've seen where different bullpens are being built on the left and right field line. If the Cubs do it, that's pretty ironic considering what used to be their bullpens for teams before they built the sections underneath the stands. And just the distancing of people not working out in very big groups, you know, working out in small groups from 9 to 14, I'm told, during the during the practice season. It's gonna be a long day for coaches and managers as far as getting a good look at all their players and making sure that they're safe and getting their work in at the same time.
I saw that the White Sox gave us a glimpse, and you broke down a little bit of it, of how they're going to go about this. What type of changes are they planning on as this restart begins?
Well, you know, the clubhouses are going to be, you know, not functioning as they used to. They're going to build auxiliary clubhouse areas for guys to put their valuables and change into their uniforms throughout the ballpark. So, I mean, you have a whole, you know, large area where, you know, carpenters or maintenance people come in and build you areas for people to dress and get ready, knowing that you don't have fans in the stands or any other people working in the ballpark very much either. So that's number one. You're hearing about, you know, the staggered people coming in. For the White Sox, or, you know, and Cubs, we're also hearing that, you know, the possibility of showering after games would be limited or, you know, prohibited depending on what the situation is. Having people just go home and change from their ballpark, Little League style, if you will, you know, after the workout. So there's a lot of unknown, but we do know that both the White Sox and Cubs have built these auxiliary areas in the ballparks for them to be able to function and make sure that everyone's safe. I mean, the number one issue is safety. Preparation and getting ready, that's certainly important here, Lawrence, but you know, can't afford anybody to have, you know, extensive contact with each other and come down with the virus. So it's going to be a tricky issue, to say the least.
So it looks like the White Sox are also going to make use of the visiting clubhouse to spread people out even more.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, again, you know, indoors and close to each other, it's not ideal, you know. So, you know, the old idea of clubhouses, you know, being, you know, kind of there for players and their private spot, that's, you know, that's not being looked at the same way at all. So, you know, again, the entire use of the ballpark and its different functions to accommodate players, coaches, and the rest of the personnel is really important. So, We'll see how it shakes out. It's going to be interesting to see for the first time tomorrow how that is shaped, and we'll hear more from it from Theo Epstein and Rick Hahn, as well as David Ross and Ricky Renteria, as we have these Zoom calls with everybody on a daily basis.
Bruce is getting ready to talk with Theo Epstein in about 15 minutes or so. So, Bruce, what is it that, beyond Quintana and his timeline, what are the things that you're interested to hear from Theo Epstein?
Well, you know, just some of the things that we're talking about right now. I mean, obviously the Quintana will dominate the first part of the conference, but people are going to want to know how the fields are, you know, manipulated for everybody to get their work in. You have 49 guys trying to get their work in on a daily basis in a ballpark that's usually with, you know, one home plate and a couple pitching areas in the bullpens, and that's it. So the reconstruction, temporarily that it might be, will be interested to see how they use the facility, just like the White Sox have identified how they're using theirs. I think that'll come up. And also, you know, Epstein will certainly be asked about looking at released players and player depth in the organization to see when these things happen, when these injuries are going to occur. This is an oddball injury to Quintana, to say the least, you know, slicing his finger. But the reality is we're not even talking about normal injuries that occur in spring training in the regular season that are going to happen to players. And from the depth chart, you know, how functional will these teams be able to be, even though they have manpower? Will they be major league ready players ready to compete for the Cubs and White Sox when players go down?
Bruce, are the White Sox going to have a second site, or have they just not made a decision on that yet?
Yeah, they will. And they said that they'll let us know when they decide to bring the rest of the players that they want up. I imagine it could be maybe a couple weeks in, because they're going to accommodate their first 44 at a guaranteed rate. They're able to go up, you know, another 26 if they want to. And depending on whether they feel the need to max out on that number, you can, you know, Lawrence, you can add any time you want during the season, any player in your organization, or if you go outside, you make a trade or a waiver deal, you sign a free agent who's out there. So you can add. The only thing, the reason I think teams are being stealth about adding numbers initially is that once you max out, you take somebody off, they can't come back on for the rest of 2020. So it's not something that is fluid. If you max out and you take a guy off, you take player X off, he's done for the 2020 season as far as being available to you. So I think you're seeing a slower process of general managers wanting to add as they go along rather than get everybody in at the same time working out.
Bruce, I know you got to get ready for the conference call with Theo Epstein. I thank you for having some time and getting us up to speed on what's going on with Jose Quintana.
Lawrence, have a safe and fun July 4th holiday weekend. I wish the same to all our listeners out there. Thank you.
It's appreciated. That is Bruce Levine, our MLB insider. I got this note, and I just kind of looked up like I was getting ready for the show, and I'm like, what? At first, I thought, when I saw, because you know how sometimes you just get the little banner, I thought for sure it would be Jose Quintana like opting out of the season. But here is the press release from the Cubs so that you know exactly what Bruce and I are talking about. The Chicago Cubs today provided the following update on left-handed pitcher Jose Quintana. Last Saturday, while washing dishes at his home in Miami, Quintana suffered a laceration on his left thumb that required 5 stitches. This morning in Chicago, Quintana underwent microscopic surgery on his left thumb to further determine the extent of his injury. The procedure identified a lacerated digital sensory nerve in his left thumb, which was surgically repaired. Quintana is expected to resume his throwing program in approximately 2 weeks, after which time a further determination will be made on expected length of absence. So, that's not great. Not great, Bob. Not a great way for the Cubs or for Quintana to start things off. And he's going to be down for at least 2 weeks and then start throwing again. And the season is supposed to start on the 23rd or the 24th. We still haven't gotten the finalized schedule on who's good. It's 2 games that are going to go on nationally on the 23rd, and then everyone else will get back into it. And we haven't gotten the full schedule as of yet. But that is, for a team that already was a little thin from a starting pitching standpoint, I know that people have their feelings about Quintana and him maybe not being as good as Cubs fans hoped that he would be, especially last year. You don't want to go into this not knowing what his availability is going to be. Ideally, like, let's push it back 2 weeks. Let's just go, did I say June 23rd? I mean July 23rd. Let's just push it back 2 weeks and say, all right, now we're talking about like the 10th of August before you would get a Quintana start. With the way that it's set up with only 60 games, I mean, I hate to be a cliche, but every game counts. And it counts more than double what it ordinarily count. And most of these games are going to be played inside the division. So there's a, man, that's a rough thing to start spring training with one of the guys that you're depending on for innings to not be available. Whew. Everyone's saying, someone get that man a dishwasher. Some people like to do that. Sometimes you're just doing a rinse before you put it in the dishwasher. I broke some glass in the sink last week. I didn't cut myself, and nor does anyone need me to pitch anymore. Although with expanded rosters, I got about 7 innings left in this arm before it's just done forever. I'll go hard for those 7, But that's all I got. So space them out. So if the Cubs need a 45-year-old right-hander that can